bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Dr. David Lundberg is the Senior Lecturer, School of Communication, International Studies and Languages at the University of South Australia, and he joins us. Tass.
G'day, how are you this morning?
Hi.
Look, I wanted to start off or kick-start off this conversation by just referring to some of the polls that have been talked about this morning. And they are suggesting that both Clinton and Trump are coming up pretty equally. What's your opinion about that?
Well, I think that's less than the Republicans would have hoped for after a week of the Republican convention. Normally, the party that has the convention in the kind of celebrity politics of the United States tends to get a bit of a boost. I would imagine the Republicans were probably hoping for something a bit bigger than that.
We see the Washington Post has come out and said that Trump is one of the biggest dangers to American democracy, and he can't be supported. I suppose in one way, David, we're seeing, and I'll sound like Fox News here, you know, the liberal media, but media other than Fox, of course, are applying a bit more of a questioning to Trump and to Clinton as well, which, you know, people are going to expect. But the reality is, are we facing the real possibility of Donald Trump as the next president of the United States?
Well, I think it's a very horrible prospect, but it's not an impossible one. If you look at what he was pushing in that acceptance speech, which presumably is his stump speech for the campaign, I'm your voice. He was reaching out to all kinds of constituents. He reached out to the LGBTQ community.
I found that amazing.
What did he say? I missed
that. Orlando. That was a bit of a high roll risk in the Republican Party, where that was absolutely anathema not long ago. And he actually said, as a Republican, I am pleased to hear you cheer for that. That was consciously broadening his coalition. But I think he's actually strongly still in that I am your voice part. I think he was working to the white working class that he's used to get himself in. He's mobilized in his speech. He made the point that he's had the biggest turnout in Republican primaries for years.
What's troubling about it, David, is, yes, I mean, I think a lot of us fear a Trump presidency for a whole range of reasons. And his support for the LGBTQ community, as he called it, you know, against, what was he called it, you know, a hateful foreign
ideology.
Yeah, so he's talking about...
It's a fairly narrow range of things he wants to protect them against.
Yeah, it's all right, I mean, you know, you can...
Domestics are presumably okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right, you know, you can have a... it's only the foreigners giving you a hard time are going to protect you against, but, you know, in a state...
Now, which was part of his whole America First thing.
Yeah. How significant is, and I did watch a lot of the sound grabs from Ted Cruz's speech. How significant is it that, apart from at the introduction, he wasn't able to utter Trump's name, and actually saying to people, you know, vote for the candidate that you think is going to be the best for America?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, is this significant? I mean,
That's actually virtually an endorsement of Hillary Clinton at the Republican convention. Well, certainly so ambiguous as to be useless. But I don't think that makes it. It's a one-minute wonder, and it probably finishes. I mean, he just underlined. It's bad form for a politician. If you get up there, you're bought. You're supposed to stay bought.
Yeah, I mean, he. I look back to when Romney was the candidate, and a lot of fundamentalist Christians said that they couldn't vote for a man who was a member of a cult. But you know, I just wonder, you know, that Ted Cruz did get a fair level of support, and he does in a different way represent conservative America in. He's less. I wouldn't say he's less of a dog whistler than Trump, but the contest between the two, and I think Clinton, of course, now has the endorsement of Bernie Sanders, who mobilized huge numbers of young people, worked on small dollar donations, but millions and millions of them.
Yeah.
And one of the things Sanders said was, you know, yes, I want $3, I want $5, but I want you to register to vote.
But they've got to go for. They've got to do more than just get his endorsement. I mean, those, they're sort of dime a dozen, aren't they? Really, political endorsements don't really cut it very much with the voters. She needs to actually put the policy framework forward, which can appeal to his constituency. And I was hoping that she would nominate. Elizabeth Warren, because Warren has got the pizzazz to really get under Trump's skin,
yes,
and also to mobilise the kind of constituency that Bernie Sanders was working.
Well, she does get under his skin because, what does he call her? Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Because she has, she claims some...
She's part Native American.
Yeah, so he calls...
Appalling.
But... You're right again. It
He's
is.
He's a lovely guy. You've got to admit.
Well, you know.
Really?
What does this mean for Australia? I watched with some interest our ambassador in Washington, Joe Hockey, was at the Republican convention and obviously engaging, and he seemed to be talking up the opportunity for that special relationship between Australia and. America, because Trump hasn't really said anything bad about us. Everyone else he has, but he hasn't really said anything bad about us. Is this a potentially an opportunity for Australia?
No, it's a real risk for Australia. His predecessor, Kim Beazley, has laid it out quite clearly. He's come out and said that NATO is obsolete because it's not... directed towards terrorism. It's not directed towards... and a whole lot of European countries don't pay their way properly. Well, that's in Europe. But it's also part of the US global alliance network. He's also telling the same story to Japan and Korea.
Yes.
He's anti every kind of trade agreement... which isn't helpful to us. He's even talking about renegotiating NAFTA, which was put in place by George Herbert Walker Bush. He is an isolationist candidate.
Yeah, very much so.
And that's rolling back pre-1945. 42.
42.
41. I'll get the year right. It's of the 7th of December 1941, when the Japanese attacked America. Since then, America's been committed to global engagement. Mm. He wants to roll that back.
And do you think, how's he going to, let's for a moment assume that he gets the right number of electoral college votes, and that in itself is quite a difficult thing. But he becomes president, and he has to work with Congress, and we're not sure how that's going to pan out. So many of the candidates in the Republican Party have refused to endorse Trump or get anywhere near him. That might impact their re-election if he's elected. But What do you think is his first thing going to be put out a tender for the wall to Mexico?
Maca.
Well, I mean, you know, we three think it's just so absurd, but he mentioned it again in his speech.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. He's going to build the wall and send the bill to Mexico, isn't he?
Yes. Well, I hope he's got a good repo man, or debt collector, because I can't see them paying.
No.
What do you think is going to be his? He'll want to do a symbolic act as president once he's inaugurated. What do you think it's going to be?
Well, he's got quite a menu of items that he mentioned in the in his acceptance speech. But he's got to take action to probably overturn Obama's tolerance of illegal immigrants, particularly young people of Latino background who had been studying in America, who were children of illegal parents.
Mm.
He refused to deport Obama refused to deport them. I imagine that he'll get tough straight away and start saying the law is going to be enforced. That's one of his themes in his speech.
Yeah. I think, look, I've got a suggestion for him. He needs to employ a speechwriter for his wife that doesn't just do cut and paste.
David, just as we're wrapping up, just think ahead to when the general election's going to be. What do you think the outcome's going to be at this point of the game?
At this point of the game, I think Hillary Clinton is still favoured to win. She has a much tougher candidate, I think, than... it's cliche to say that Trump's been underestimated. I thought his acceptance speech had elements such as the I am your voice to working class whites.
Mm.
Shows the man's dangerous.
Mm.
He knows how to mobilise constituencies.
Mm.
And he doesn't have any answers, but he knows the right murmurs to make about the problems.
Mm. He could take over.
And I think that's a Ronald Reagan... He's not only pinched Ronald Reagan's slogan, he's also pinched Ronald Reagan's style.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just allude to the kind of positive image future you want without actually giving any specific details of how you're going to get there apart from building a wall and stuff.
Yes.
Very interesting. It'd be great to actually have you back on board at some point as we're getting closer to the election, just to chew the fat again. But thank you very much for your insights.
Thank you.
That was David Lundberg from the University of South Australia, Senior Lecturer, School of Communication, International Studies and Languages.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.